At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Thanks for listening to CarCast on Podcast One.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. I'm going to get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend about CarCast. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Matt the Motorator. DeAndre over there. Good to see you, Matt.
How are you?
I'm well. Busy. Good, busy. Tons of stuff going on in the car world. I just feel like this whole vintage world has really picked up. And maybe it's just us, but I also feel like, in general, the car hobby has picked up. Many more events springing up, many more invitations popping up, many more chances to go places and do things and bring cars and meet people. And I just feel like, in general, now you have to be careful, because it can be, pardon the pun, a two-way street. So, well, maybe you're just noticing because they're just reaching out to you. But just more articles and more shows and more vintage things and more events. Does that feel right to you?
Yeah. Some of them, you're right, have been there, and we're just getting an opportunity to do some of them, like the MIDI I've never been to, you've never been to, or, you did a Grand Marshal thing or something there before. So going to that was kind of cool. And then, the idea that Goodwood is back on our radar, be able to go to something like that. And I had mentioned to you that Goldberg and I are doing the Woodward Dream Cruise for like the week before in Michigan. I've never gone to that event, but that event's been there for a while.
Yeah.
Just recently we had your Paul Newman car. We got invited by IndyCar and the Sirius Fun Foundation that used to be
Hole in the Wall Gang.
Paul Newman's foundation. They just rebranded it. Invited by them, they announced a big partnership. IndyCar and Sirius Fun announced a partnership in Indy at the race this weekend. And as part of that, we sent them the Paul Newman, the 1987 Paul Newman 300ZX, the 2+2 car, as part of their display for their announcement, which it looked great. They sent us photos. I thought it was kind of a really fantastic and an honor for them to think of us and say, hey, what do you think? Can you send the car out? And
yeah, I agree. And it's nice that you people take pictures and then tweet us pictures of the car, because I don't think I'd ever have any pictures of it. So at the event. So thank you.
Yeah. And what I'm saying is, there's been a few more of these things that we've been able to participate in by sending a car or something, even though we don't have time to go. But we do try to, support all of these things to the best as we can. And anyway, that seemed like a great event. And hopefully we can get out there to Indy in a couple of weeks and see the Indy 500.
Yeah. So I'm going out there. Matt's working on it. We're going to be screening Uppity, the Willie T doc. And we have
a good story. I was with you when we screened it a couple of weeks ago. And I'll just say, there's so much to it that I didn't know, because he's not super well known.
Right.
But I think that's what makes a good doc, is telling a good story about somebody you haven't really heard of before.
Agreed. And we don't really have, as far as I know, we've not landed on a location yet for screening this at Indy. The first thought was, they have these big semi-truck movie theater screens, thing probably goes full Robosaurus and the thing comes up out of the thing. And they set the thing up. And that sounds fantastic. And we're going to do it on the infield of the 500.
Oh, nice.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Cannot clear it. Secret Service can't clear it that close to the race.
Oh.
Well, this kind
of
sad. Because
of the truck? I've seen an inflatable version, too, by the way. It's like
It's just the notion is...
It's like a 30-foot screen that's just filled with air.
The notion is that thing is on lockdown 48 hours before the race or whatever it is. And somehow they can't have a big unit coming in and setting up and doing this and that and the other without a bunch of security, whatever. So it's sad that we live in a society where we do this to ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at. So we're trying to find another location. We're either for the truck or back to the museum or whatever it is.
It's an interesting thing because I was wondering, why does it have to be the truck and it has to be there? Like, you can go out here in L.A. We've got movies and cemeteries and parks, and they do like a giant inflatable 30, 40-foot screen, and it goes up and down in minutes. And
yeah.
Like,
yeah, they're
maybe that's easier.
They're going to work something
I'm
out.
I'm sure there's an event company that's behind it, but I was just
They're going to work something out.
So do we know who would be invited to that event? Is that something where we're going to say, hey, everybody should come out and check this out, or is it going to be for...
It'll be open to the public. I'll say something. Willie T will say something. Nate will say something, but you won't be able to hear it because he keeps his mic at his belt buckle. And then at some point, I'll push his elbow.
Yeah.
Up,
and all you hear him go, thank you very much.
And then we'll get the mic back up to his mouth. And then.
Starts to slowly go down.
It takes between 12 and 23 seconds for it to go right back to his belt buckle. Yeah.
Thank you all for coming.
And that's. This is one of my most fascinating aspects of the human condition, which is when I push on Nate's arm and get the mic back up to his mouth.
Yeah.
It's not like I go, and then the next year we went back to Indy and he did the same thing.
Yeah.
It'll be way less than 30 seconds later where that thing goes back to his belt. Now, somebody sent me a snarky tweet earlier in the week, and they said, hey, you tell people about boxing. You know, I was telling my son how to run pass routes, and I was like, listen to me. I'm going to tell you how to do it and just do it. And get it on the first try, like just absorb it. And this snarky douchey guy went, well, how about you and Caitlyn Jenner, where you keep going like he or she or whatever? And I was like, couple things. First off, it was 40 years of Bruce Jenner. He was on the Wheaties box. I watched him in the Olympics. I had 40 years of he. It's not like I just met somebody and they said, oh, here's how you pronounce my name, and I wouldn't do it. I had a long, rich history of it, number one.
Bruce Jenner was on the car show.
Number two is Bruce Jenner was on the car show, but Bruce Jenner archivally was on the Willie T doc.
Right.
It was Bruce Jenner.
Yes.
So it's one thing if I tell a guy, hey, when you throw your right cross, keep your left hand up. It's another thing if I'd been telling him for 40 years, keep it by your hip. Now I've changed my mind. And now it's even another thing when we're toggling back and forth between keeping your left hand up and keeping it down.
Right. That'd be like, we're going to watch old boxing videos, but don't pay attention to their form because we're doing it different now.
Yeah, I don't mess up most people's gender. I mess up people's gender who changed their gender when I was 51.
Has there been any other instance where you messed up someone's gender?
No. So I don't think I have a rich history in messing up people's gender.
Right.
I'm also working on a movie, like I said, where we have to go back and look at hours of footage of him as a man. So I know this guy's a snarky, progressive, millennial douche, but I would argue that's not a great example of, like, do as I say.
Right.
Because I do pride myself on when people say to me, hey, when you come to my house, don't knock on the front door because I'll be in the back at the pool. Sometimes I won't hear. Walk around to the side gate. I don't then show up the next week and bang on the front door and go, dude, where were you? I go, oh, yeah. He said, come around.
Yeah.
I do that. I am pretty good at that.
So we got to get Nate a headset?
Nate needs a headset.
Nate needs a headset.
I would be wearing it on his crotch before the night is over. Brush Hero. Oh, as seen on Shark Tank. Water-powered cleaning machine. Impressive amount of torque. No batteries or electricity required. Starter set comes with two brush heads.
Cool. I've got one.
I got one, too. One's soft for more sensitive surfaces like paint and chrome. Others tougher for the serious muck. Extensive line of accessories to clean virtually anything. Boats, barbecues, yard tools, patio furniture, RVs.
Did you try it on Philly?
Ooh, give me the bottle brush for Phil. It's a great gift for Father's Day coming up. Gift sets for every budget. These things are just great. Look, if it's on Shark Tank, you know it's good, and it's great. Works on turbine action, hooks up to the hose. Special offer. Go to brushhero.com, use the promo code CARCAST, get 10% off any order over $50, plus free shipping. Also on Amazon and select Costco stores. Go to Amazon, bookmark us. Click through our site. It just helps. All right, so you, so we'll keep you posted on Indy. The uppity Indy premiere. You guys can come out and say hi. You went to a McLaren event.
I did. Beverly Hills McLaren. I think they were opening a new facility. It looked fantastic. We had a nice chat with everybody at McLaren. They're all so nice. Their cars are fantastic. But I went there to schmooze a little bit to see if, one, we can get somebody from McLaren to come in and chat with us on the show. And two, their new supercar that's kind of the race version, the new McLaren Senna.
Mm-hmm.
When can we get that to drive? And the answer was yes to both.
Ooh.
And by drive, I mean me.
Are they racing that car in the series?
I don't know if they are yet, but here's what's cool is what they're saying is their future plan. They're laying out their lineup of cars. They've got their 670 and their 720S, which we've had here. You've been in a few of them. Then they have this Senna, but this isn't still the top of the lineup. There's going to be – they want to do another three-seater version above the Senna, similar to the F1.
You know,
like Leno's car.
Right.
And then the P1 is still at the top of that chain where that one is, you know, 1.something million, 1.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's going to be a successor to that, but – expect to see more models of McLaren. So I thought it would be great to hopefully get one of the McLaren people in here at some point.
Yeah.
But what, it's a great event. They have the convertibles, they have the coupes, and, you know, they have the P1 is there, and the 720 is there, and the 670 is there. And when you really see the lineup up close, you're like, these are pretty cool cars. And they're all fantastic to drive. So
I'm
going to
ask
wrong
some possibly insulting questions.
Okay.
Are they all-wheel drive, or are some of them all-wheel drive?
They're not all-wheel drive, and that's a good question. I don't know. I think the P1 may be the only one that's all-wheel drive. I'd have to double-check. I don't know if there are other ones are, but I'm pretty sure the P1 is like electric motors.
Let's figure out how many, or if any, are all-wheel drive.
Yeah, they're all rear-wheel drive.
There is no all-wheel drive McLaren.
What's the P1, though? Does it have electric motors on the front wheels? That would be the only one I can think of.
That's a hybrid?
Yeah. Although the electric motor could be like on the transmission.
Yes. So that's interesting, number one. It's weird because they're so high tech. You think they'd have an all-wheel something offering. Number two, in the possibly insulting department, are their engines bespoke or do they collaborate with anybody?
They're making their own engines. I'm pretty sure because I remember when I went out to see the very first one, the MP4 12C or whatever it was called. It wasn't the best name. And they spoke a lot about their engine, their 3.8 liter V8 turbo.
Leno's P1, is that completely bespoke as well?
Yeah, it's there.
They didn't collaborate with AMG or something.
No.
I mean, it doesn't say AMG, but I'm saying.
Yeah, because you're thinking like the F1 has the BMW engine or something.
Like to dig down deep into Leno's 93 F1.
Yeah.
Would we find that, yes, the block was made by this company that also supplies them for Mercedes or whatever?
Well, his engine, I think, is a BMW engine.
That is a BMW engine.
But the new cars aren't. And I think that was part of the idea is McLaren's been developing engines and technology for F1 that it would be kind of weird for them to start using somebody else's engine. That being said, Aston Martin is working with AMG. Aston Martin continues to make their 12-cylinder, but the new 8-cylinders are going to be the AMG engines.
So, all-wheel drive, nada?
No, none. He did an interview. The CEO did an interview last year, said it's something they'll consider in the future, but no plans of it yet. And if they do, they will do the front electric axle first.
Okay.
It just feels McLaren because they're very tech oriented.
Yeah.
But love that. Love the rear wheel drive. Love where they're going. Love the resurrection of Senna. We recently noticed a couple of his F1 cars going, one for...
And a suit? But we don't know what it's sold for.
I do. He had his Candy's F1 car, which is featured in the movie Senna, famously driving it in the rainstorm at Monaco. That went for like 1.9 or something. I think they had to estimate it like 900 to 1.2 or something. That thing went for almost $2 million, I do believe. So weird that F1 cars have now entered the world of vintage racing.
Yeah.
Vintage racing.
Which auction was it?
It was either RM of Monaco or Gooding of Monaco, or not Gooding.
Bonhams
of Monaco. But then his Ferrari F1 car, early 90s, went for like right at $5 million, like 4.998 or something.
4.995894. Jesus.
I owe everyone an apology. So that's, what's that? Is that $18 away from being...
It's like $5.
Wait, 4.995894. 4.95. Wait.
4.995.
Oh, okay. So five. The five is 50 grand?
Yeah. $894.
Oh, no. The five is 5 grand.
It's 4,995,000.
Right.
$894.
Okay, so it's literally less than 5 grand away from being $5 million.
That's right.
All right, so that thing went for $5 million, and that's an F1 car. So
yeah,
in the vintage world, F1 cars weren't really part of the vintage world. I think they were like too exotic, too dangerous, too whatever. Like now, between... this car, Schumacher's Ferrari, went for like $7.5 million a few months back, and now this.
Yeah, now actually,
these are Ferraris.
To your point about valuations and where these are going, the Candy car that you were talking about, the estimate was around, there's a conversion, around 900,000 to 1.2 million, and it sold for 1.9 million.
How dead nuts on am I? What?
Like
when my wife says to me, Max Zapata, this is off memory. I said 900 to 1.2, and it sold for about 1.9.
Yeah, it was 1.9.
When my wife said, no, I definitely said dinner at 7:30, not at 8. And I go, no, you said 8. And she goes, no, I said 7:30. Who are we going to believe?
Sonny. I always go with Sonny on
go
this
with
one.
Sonny.
Go with Sonny. But yeah, but, you know, yes, you were right. And it crushed the estimate by... you know, $800,000.
Well, it's just anything Senna's now. Senna,
yeah.
By the way,
maybe Bonhams needs to work on their estimates.
For those of you who are McQueen-esque,
yeah,
think about Senna. You know, anything Senna's going nuts now. So now Senna's fire suit, I think, sold for with the convert, you know, whatever. I think the conversion, I can't remember, but it was like 38 or 34, 30, 38, which would probably make it close to 50 grand. And he could have had a lot of fire suits, and that could have been a one and done. Like,
yeah,
he just wore it one time or whatever. Not a significant thing. So, you know, 50 grand. But look, for 48.5 or whatever you ended up with the conversion of paying for that fire suit, Max Paddle, do the math on it. For that fire suit, under 50 grand, Senna's fire suit with Senna stuff going ballistic.
Yeah.
No doubt 10 years from now, the thing will be 250 grand. I mean, you'll have done fine for yourself. I would buy anything Senna like people bought anything Newman. Like I bought anything Newman, like people bought anything McQueen. The thing that is interesting is the McQueen fire suit sold for like 48 grand. 44 grand, 48 grand. You do a spot and we'll figure out what that is, which is weird, and we'll try to get to the bottom of that in a second.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you about Castrol Edge. designed for consumers to demand the best performance from their cars. Tech advances made engines smaller, more powerful, and efficient. Engines today produce pressure up to 10 tons per square centimeter. The only thing stopping metal-to-metal contact is a thin layer of oil. So the oil needs to be strong and remain strong. Castrol Edge is formulated with fluid titanium technology, 3 times stronger against viscosity breakdown than the leading full synthetic. It's Castrol Edge.
So the Senna suit sold for $54. It's weird because it tagged out at like 38 or something, but I guess with the conversion, it went for 50 plus. These were euros or whatever. And then the McQueen fire suit. Now, somebody listening could probably coach us up. I like being coached up. Don't get me wrong. I like knowing things. For instance, when I was saying out loud on my podcast, you know, what's up with the car number changes? I had to change my number to 38. There was another 33 car. It was a convertible 356 Porsche that could never be mistaken for my car.
Yeah.
Why do I need to change a number? And also, I have a transponder in my car, so how are we going to get it confused? Lap, you know, what place are you in? I don't know. You know, I have a transponder.
Yeah.
Somebody tweeted me and said, this is the number is for the grid person, which is true. There's a nice lady reading a clipboard who's looking at your car number going, oh, you qualified 11th over here.
Yeah, move up.
Oh,
move
you
back,
qualified
whatever.
Number 16. You move. You wait. Come up. Get in order. So now, and it's for the medical worker who's pulling you out of the car going, what car was it?
Yeah.
I agree with that. But I also agree if you wrote what red, white, and blue dots in.
If one of them's correct, wrecked and the other guy sitting in his number 33 Porsche in the paddock, they're going, why are you grabbing me? I don't do CPR. I'm fine.
I'm just saying if you had a little note to the nice lady with the clipboard who was gritting you up and said number 33 Porsche was number 4th and number 33 Datsun, red, white, and blue, was 11th, I bet she could do that math.
Yeah. I get where they're coming
but
from.
But I get
though.
Where they're yeah, I get sure. it. Max Pata?
Yes.
did we find it's on the website, I think. Did we find what McQueen's it's on the same as the Senna fire suit, so you should see it right there. Just
oh,
below.
Oh yeah,
it.
I had 57.3. Does that sound right? With the helmet, the one from Le Mans? That's not including the fee.
You're right. It sounds about right. It went for 60 grand or whatever. I was trying to do the conversion into euros versus pounds or whatever.
I converted it to dollars. So it was like 4,800 or 48,000 euros.
Yeah, that's what I thought. 48. Right. Okay. So the McQueen, the first McQueen Le Mans, these are just a movie Le Mans.
Yeah.
People get mad at me for saying Le Mans. That's how they say it. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Not Leno, by the way. He's Le Mans.
Oh.
He's a Le Mans guy.
Yeah, he's trying to keep it real. I get it.
He's talking to the people.
He's an everyman with his denim. He's wearing a tuxedo under that denim, like James Bond.
I'm sure he is.
So listen to me. The first Paul Newman fire suit, I say it sells some years ago. Sorry. The first Steve McQueen fire suit from the movie, as worn in the movie Le Mans. The first one sells for like $986,000 or something. Now, when I do say sold for $1 million, a lot of assholes go, it was $981.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, okay. Yeah,
there's a little bit of inflation. It was a few years ago.
Just like I tell Rob at the other shop, where it's like, the plumber says to hook the sprinklers up to the main valve, he's going to need $1,981.30. Just say $2,000. Just say $2,000. Just say $2,000. Please say $2,000. It'll just be easier for me in my head, you know?
By the way, later if you see it's $1,918, you're like, oh, save some money.
I save $4. Just please say $2,000. We can get on with our lives.
Right.
All right. The conversation 41 times.
Except the only time is when somebody asks me the time. I'm always particular on the time.
I have also granted Matt Fondelier, the Porcelain Punisher, the powers of attorney to, when I tell him, like, what time are we leaving LAX for Indy? 11:04. I said, you can just say 11 o'clock. It'll work better for me.
It's okay.
Like the 9:57. So you can just say 10 o'clock. Or if it's 10:04, just say 10. I'll just get there. I'll be looking at a 10 o'clock flight. That's fine. Okay. It's easier.
Yeah.
It's better. You know why?
Yeah.
Because when I'm talking to Mike August 4 days later and he's going, what time are we leaving out of? It'll stick much easier if someone said 11 o'clock. If they go 11:04, it doesn't stick as well. And how much is it to hook the sprinkler system up to the main valve? $2,000 sticks a lot better than 1987-21. Rob will get into the sense, which is another one. I'll just go, just don't do it.
He doesn't say, I'll just cover it. I'll just cover that 18 cents. It's a $1,920. I'll cover the 37 cents, boss.
The conversation 40 times. Just don't do it. All right. So, now.
Okay. So the
first one sells, you can check, Chris will back this up, sells for like either 960 something or 980 something like 3 years or 4 years ago, Pebble Beach. Okay, that's the first Paul Newman,
Steve McQueen
fire suit. The next one pops up just a few months ago.
Yeah.
Now, the first thing is, like, there's another one.
That's what we all said. And, like, it looks kind of the same.
And this time with a helmet.
Yes.
The other one, no helmet. This is with a helmet. And this thing goes for like 285 or 283 or
yeah.
something.
Well, already
something
the
like
estimate
that.
Was lower, right? And we were questioning, what is this now?
Well, it was second place and some sort of radio prize or something, or some sort of sweepstakes, where first place was a bone stock 914 Porsche, and second place was this fire suit as used in the movie, filming the movie Le Mans. Okay. So now we fast forward 4 months or 5 months or whatever it is, and now there's another one. And you read the description on this one, it's like, oh, this one is given away as second place in the radio sweepstakes as well. And then, of course, I say, oh, that guy's reselling the one he bought for $280.
Yeah, he's flipping it.
And then Alexander Weaver, I believe, tells us, who's the RM guy,
yeah,
says, oh, no, it's a different one. And I said, oh, there's a third? Yeah, there's a third, and there was another sweep. The story's the same,
yeah.
And it comes with a helmet. So now it's getting a little fishy.
And they're like, all from the same movie, so they all look the same, right? They're supposed to look the same. It's, you know, you're not supposed to tell the difference, but
they have a hero shot. You know, they have the hero one. They have the one the guy can wear when he's eating lunch and no one cares about. They got the driving one. They got the one the stunt driver wears.
Right.
It's weird.
It is weird. And now, because they're all photographed the same and the prices are vastly different.
So, one went for $1 million. The other one went for a little under $1 million. The other went for a little under 300.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
And then the other one went for a little under 60.
Yeah.
Or 65.
Right.
So, what's the story, Morning Glory?
I don't know. I think the guy who's got the one for 60 goes, hey, we heard one of these sell for $1 million. Yeah, mine's pretty much the same.
Hey, if you want, I can put 50 cents in the pocket and bring it up to the value of the other one. But other than that,
I'm sure there's like Steve McQueen wore the one, and the other one, like you're saying, is the stunt guy one or something to that effect. But it's really tough to really prove that.
The description of the one that went for... The difference is the radio one was $300,000, and the other radio sweepstakes one was $65,000.
Yeah,
and they both came with a helmet, and the description was virtually the same. So what?
I don't know the difference is. One of them is going to be like, McQueen wore this one on a Tuesday morning, and he hates Tuesday mornings. So that one's
hard
out.
To verify things though,
because
the description.
Guy.
Max Zapata, if you look at the one that just sold, was the sweepstakes one. And if you look at the sweep, if you look at the description of the one that sold in New York in like January or December or something.
Yeah, you got to double check the dates because the descriptions and the photos are exactly the same.
Yeah, like just Googling it, you're getting so many different options. It's hard to narrow this down to.
All right, yeah. But the person that paid $65 has got to be feeling pretty good about themselves.
So the most recent one, I think, was RM Auction in Monaco. So
right.
On RM Sotheby's white site.
But then the RM New York was the one that sold the one before.
Yeah, a couple months, a few months earlier.
I'd say around January, December, yeah. January. I'll tell you, Chris will look. It's just the description is the same, which is confusing to me. I'll tell you about Brush Hero. And we talked to the guys, and they were like, no, it's a different one. But they didn't say anything else. I don't know.
You're right. They didn't explain the difference in value. They just explained that it was a different suit.
Max Spada.
Yo.
Did that one that sold recently in Monaco, did that have a little no reserve, little NR
thing? Oh, I believe it did.
Let me check.
Check that. I'll tell you, because that then blows this thing out of the water. Brush Hero. Speaking of blowing stuff out of the water, man, you've seen it on Shark Tank. Water-powered cleaning machine. I was just telling you about this. Impressive amount of torque, no batteries, no electricity. None of that required. You don't want to mix that electricity with water.
No.
You ever see those movies where they throw the space heater into the bathtub?
Everyone.
Every time it gets them. No one walks away from that. Starter set comes with two brush heads. I got the soft one for the sensitive areas, like the surfaces like paint, chrome, and then the tough ones for the serious muck. Extensive line of accessories to clean virtually anything, boats, barbecues, yard tools. Oh, yeah, when you get the shovels all caked on, you get the clay caked on there.
I don't like hanging them back in the garage all dirty.
That's you, and then everyone I know doesn't like hanging them back in the garage. Period. And just chuck them onto the lawn.
Gotcha.
Great gifts for Father's Day. Oh, we got to hook up, man. Gift sets for every budget. Special offer. Go to brushhero.com. Use the promo code CARCAST. Get 10% off any order over $50 plus free shipping. Also available on Amazon or select Costco stores. All right.
So the RM website doesn't say no reserve anymore because it's already sold and it says sold. But I'm pretty sure it was no reserve, because we would have recalled what the, you know.
I disagree. Well,
you think there was a reserve?
I feel like I've gone back and looked at the results and seen no reserve on ones with the results
on their website.
Yeah, I think so.
Possibly on our app, on our Hammer Price app.
Well, maybe it was our Hammer Price app
that
I was thinking about.
That one says it, yeah.
Maybe it was that. Max Paddle, will see if there are other ones that had the no reserve on there. But either way, that thing sold with, I believe, the same description as the $300,000 one for 200 something grand less.
Here's a little tidbit to
somebody must
any
have
auction
something.
Company. If you're an auction company,
yes,
and you've sold both suits, you can go ahead and write in your description, this is not the suit we sold in November or January or whatever, right? Like, there's a way to be clear about that.
Well, yes, let me play devil's douche here. If one was much less valuable, just inherently, it was never worn or it wasn't used in the movie, it was used as a backup or never taken out of the box. Is that the kind of information that would benefit your sale?
I mean, I don't know. I think you just need to be clear on what it is. Like, these companies, you know, everybody's all about, like, disclosure of the stuff. Was the car wrecked? Does it have the original engine? Was something replaced? Or blah, right. blah, blah. Like, we read this description 100 times. We're like, is this the same one? Is this the same one? And then we had to ask somebody from the auction company to say, Is this the same one?
Yes, you're right. These two podcasts were confused. Max Apata will clear up something.
Well, also, so the woman won this suit and the helmet from the magazine. She didn't know what to do with it, so she gave it to her neighbor, and the neighbor would wear it around while riding his motorcycle, and because he was the same size, so he would wear it around, and then eventually, after a while, he took it off, cleaned it, and put it in his attic. Does that devalue it at all? Or is it?
No, that
it just
doesn't.
Means his neighbor's a badass.
Well, it's his neighbor drinks before he rides motorcycles. No. Now, what is the other description from back in January at RM? That's the question. Is it the same description? Because I didn't get that deep into it. As soon as I read it was won at a radio contest or whatever, a newspaper contest, I was like, oh, it's the same one.
Yeah.
But yes, it would be nice if people drew a distinction. The 935 is flying to England. That has been confirmed.
It has.
Yes.
That's nice.
And in order to save on air travel, you're going to be belted into it.
I'll do it. It's fine. It's only going to take 5 days.
We're
going to
bring. You're going to get some check mix. Oh no, you're flying in. You're going. Yeah. You're going in one move.
Yeah.
We're going to give you some check mix and some Pedialyte.
And you think they hold me in customs as well, or?
I think you can get out of the car.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. Leno's going to be driving around the car. We still haven't figured out about the passenger seat, as best I know.
We've inquired. Mm-hmm. And also, I don't know how much you should be saying about it. Like, we're going to do something.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They don't like that.
They don't like that.
All right.
But
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I can't find a difference between the two fire suits, except the one that sold for over 300.
Yeah. Did it go for over 300?
336,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay. I was wrong about that.
Yeah, it's making worse for the other guy.
What is the description of that one?
Same thing. Won it in the German magazine. Stored for much of the past 46 years. Incredible condition. The most encouraging feature of this racing suit condition is the light black staining on parts of the trousers, jacket, and necktie, which are synonymous with being used in a race car. The other one didn't have that description. I don't know if that means anything, but...
Well, also, because what we're talking about is maybe it was used halfway through the film, where the suit is mucked up a little bit, and that's, you know, a different scene. Although now it is starting to sound like maybe that guy who rode around on his bike shouldn't have cleaned it.
We'll get Alexander Weaver.
All right. Here's my thought. The one that sold for $1 million was Steve McQueen's fire suit that he wore when he filmed that race. The other one was a backup. It was used by either somebody driving the car, a stunt double or something, or for McQueen for hero shots when he got in and out of the car or whatever
or
it is.
Or even just promotional stuff for the film.
They got the seatbelt thing or whatever. The third one was probably never used. So that was that. The one that sold for $60,000 probably didn't get any use. It may have never been on camera.
Yeah.
So that's probably the A, the B, and the C of it. And then one says, well, what's the difference between a fire suit that was brought to France and used for this, but never used, versus one that was used the whole time? And
yeah.
I guess it's the difference between a Rolex Daytona that Newman never wore, that was just presented to him, and then he gave it to somebody, or one that he wore, and there are many pictures of him wearing it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. It's in the film stuff too. It could be like there's a whole second unit that filmed someplace else, and there was a double, and maybe he wore something like that. Like, who knows?
My suspicion is the one that just sold for $60,000 probably never left the box.
Yeah,
it was in. I suspect the other two were worn more so. Thus, one is $336,000, the other's $980,000, whatever, and then this one is $60,000.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off dry cleaning, you're picking up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. You don't have to pick up or drop off anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you want some extra money in your pocket, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
Thank you.
Also, for the suit, I mean, the one that sold for $984 was sold at an Icons for Hollywood auction, while the other ones are sold at RM. Do you think it'd be worth trying to get the Hollywood auctions over the car auctions for these things?
Well, that's kind of interesting, too, because, you know...
What is the description of the one that sold for the Icons? Because that wasn't one in a radio contest.
Right. That one's got, you know, his racing stripe stains.
As seen,
and,
you know, this is his personal blah, blah, blah. That's what you should try to figure out. You can look that up. I'll give a couple of plugs, which is Royal Oak Theater tonight in Detroit. One-man show. His name is Ace. Also stopping by Ford on the way to Detroit to talk to them about some upcoming stuff, so I'll keep you guys posted on that. Portland, Aladdin Theater, second show, the one-man show. First one sold out. That is June 9th. Second show, still some tickets. June 14th, me and Kimmel up at Flappers. It'll be mainly me. Jimmy will be there and doing some stuff, and I'll keep you posted
on
that.
Dancing? Or
he'll be dancing off the side.
Miming or something?
He's going to use the broom to sweep me off when I stop being funny. Yeah. That'll be Seattle Moore Theater. That'll be September 13th. We're doing a live podcast there. Check out the Chassis. Everyone loves Chassis. Lots of good stuff on Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y. Shift and Steer. Listen to on Podcast One.
Yep. Now we have a new Podcast One app.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, download the new app now. It's available for iOS and Android.
There you go. And also check out the Dennis Miller Option, which is a very funny podcast. No holds barred opinion. Current events, politics, and all that good stuff, pop culture. And you can check it out, Podcast One and Apple as well. Max Pata, any luck finding that description?
I can't find that description. I just have screenshots that says the racing suit from Le Mans joins previously announced items at the Icons of Hollywood auction. And people are saying that there is just a whole other market for people who collect movie paraphernalia and costumes as well.
No, I get it. That's not going to. That's not going to explain away $600,000, $650,000 worth of difference 4 years later. It's not that. It's not where it went. It's this is the suit versus one.
Yeah, it's got to be like the main suit in the movie, and he had the most time in it, and identifying marks, you know, whatever mustard stains or tears or
McQueen may have owned that suit. McQueen may have said, "I'm taking this home."
Yeah.
That's probably what happened versus here's the local radio station. Have fun.
But also, when the guy who sold it for $984, he got it for $155. And he said he spent the next year just marketing the race suit. And then eventually put it up.
I love that guy. He's a genius.
He's a genius.
Money paid for.
Okay. I heard tale of that guy. Anyway. All right. So, until next time, Santa Crow for Matt the Moderator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.